Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The comic strip Kathy first launched more than 40 years ago. At its height, it ran in nearly 1,400 newspapers until cartoonist Kathy Geiswit retired from daily strip creation in 2010. The strip's main character was a lovable and sometimes painfully vulnerable representation of a woman living the paradox of modern femininity. She freaked out inside department store dressing rooms during swimsuit season. She waited for the phone to ring. She dodged the darting hands of a too touchy boss. Now Kathy Geiswit has turned her pen to humor writing. Her new essay collection is called 50 Things That Aren't My Fault. And it includes further laugh because it's better than crying explorations of parental guilt, food guilt, daughter guilt, and career guilt. But it's more than that. It's a rallying cry for women who are far too tired to take further responsibility for things that were never their responsibility in the first place. Kathy Geiswit is with us now on the phone. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you, and thank you. That was a perfect description of what I want my book to be, a best friend to people. Thank you.
And I have a long admiration of humorists like Jean Kerr and Irma Bombeck and Nora Ephron and Anna Quinlan, who's not necessarily a humorist but an essayist. And you have now launched yourself, you know, firmly into that canon. Tell us a little bit about transitioning to humor writing from comic strip creation.
Well, I love the challenge of trying to smash, you know, a lot of the complications of womanhood into the four boxes of a comic strip panel. But getting to write these essays was like coming home and taking off the Spanx. This was just so liberating and so meaningful for me to get to write more thoughtfully and more completely about what a lot of us have gone through and what a lot of us, you know, are still up against. The essays are, you know, they're a little bit reflection on how the world has changed. They're a little bit of frustration, you know, what hasn't changed. It's a lot rebellion against the many things that aren't our fault. You know, and it's part just annoyance that the seniors in the commercial are reinventing themselves so meaningfully and I'm still working on a to-do list from 1992.
So when you first started drawing, you kind of came into that. You're working in an ad agency, and you kind of came into cartooning as having to teach yourself really how to draw the characters before you could move forward. Tell me how you learned how to write an essay, because these are really well-crafted essays and structured very in a very sophisticated way.
Thank you. You know, I think my comic strips were always essays. I just ran out of space for all the words, honestly. Like in 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, there's an essay called Helicopter Daughter, where I write about visiting my 90-year-old parents and trying to convince them that they're old enough to wear the security alert pendants around their necks for when my sisters and I aren't there. And the process of chasing them around the house, trying to get them to accept any help. Yeah. And if in a comic strip form, I could just kind of write about the little moment of that. But in an essay form, I just had the freedom to talk a lot more deeply, I guess, about that experience that so many women are having right now or have had recently, where we're trading places with our parents and we're trying to make peace with the fact that, you know, we're trying to keep our parents safe instead of them trying to keep us safe.
Right. At the same time, you're still trying to keep your daughter safe, and there's an essay, or our children safe, I should say more broadly, but there's also this essay of trying on bras in with your, you know, 19-year-old daughter and sort of looking around and not even knowing where to look and thinking about, again, this sort of changing, you know, face of feminism and what it means. A lot going through your brain in just that moment of standing there, which I think a lot of mothers can really relate to.
And that's another essay that I wrote directly after the experience of having it happen one too many times, where my generation of women grew up with our moms sewing little hooks in all of our clothes so that a little tiny white bra strap wouldn't show. The embarrassment of that would never happen. And the experience I have of taking my teenage daughter to Victoria's Secret and having her rush towards the, you know, the magenta padded push-up power bra with the matching thong underwear, more provocative, you know, than wedding lingerie for previous generations. You go, and it's meant to be worn on the outside, you know, not the thong, but the bra. It's meant to be visible. It's meant to,
Yeah, it's partial outer garment. Yeah, exactly.
And so and I write about the challenge of raising a daughter where my generation changed the world in a lot of ways. And one great thing we did was liberate our daughters from a lot of body issues and really freeing them to be more self-expressive. And yet the horror now of realizing that, you know, they can be more self-expressive. And, you know, it's scary because I feel like it makes that generation a lot more vulnerable in a way.
Yeah.
A little bit scary to be a mom right now. So I write about that in the book.
And then there's that moment where she says, come in the fitting room with me, help me. And there's that deep connection between mother and daughter and that deep vulnerability that she's expressing. And then this pressure that you, like, what do I say? Do I say what I'm really thinking? Do I say what she wants me to say? Oh, the agony of that.
Knowing that we're in this last little window of time where she needs me to help her fit into the world that is so unrecognizable to me, but she needs me to give her permission to grow up almost as much as she needs my credit card, you know. And it's a bittersweet time. But in just like in the comic strip, there's kind of humor everywhere. I started writing about these little stories that were not always funny when they were happening, but usually if I tried to work it out on paper, I could find a little bit of humor.
Mm. When you first started,
There's an essay called "In 50 Things That Aren't My Fault." There's an essay called "I Want the Legs I Used to Hate Back," and this came directly from my experience. I've lived in California for 40 years. I've never worn shorts because I always hated my legs. Even when I got thin, I hated my legs. They were too, you know, stretch marky or cellulite-y or shaped wrong, or I wasn't happy with them. I was ashamed of my legs. And I'm at the age now where I'm saying I am proud of my legs. You know, I marched into a store. I was buying shorts, and I'm happy with those legs. And then I looked in the mirror. I put on the shorts and turned and looked in the mirror. And those legs that I hated my whole life aren't on my body anymore. Now grandma's legs are on my body. Now I long for the legs that I used to hate and hid from the world. Wasn't funny when it was happening in the dressing room. Yeah. But when I started putting it down on paper and kind of realized what that moment was, you know, there's a little bit of humor there.
When you first started the comic strip, Kathy, you were one of the original voices in, you know, really on the funny pages, representing what one woman's experience might be like. A lot of pressure came with that, too, to sort of speak for every woman and find the universality every day. And now, as you pen these essays from the book 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, it seems to me that you're one of the only women of your generation who's writing new work now about with essays about what it means to be a woman at this age. Do you have the sense of what your voice means and how you're using it at this particular time?
I just know that I have been blessed beyond comprehension to get to be, to have such a deep relationship with so many women and so many and their mothers through the comic strip years. I feel like I'm sisters to like thousands of millions really of women who I never met because It was this beautiful circle of kind of reassurance. I know that my work kind of reassured women, and then women would write to me and reassure me that I wasn't the only one, because some of those strips, honestly, took a little bit of nerve to put them out and admit that I felt certain ways at times when maybe it wasn't cool to feel that way. So my book now, I hope will be the same for women. I hope it will feel like a friend. I know that a lot of people who grew up on my comic strip, or their moms grew up on it, or their grandmas grew up on it, I know that we've been through a lot of the same things, and that we're all facing a lot of the same challenges now. And we really need to keep a sense of humor about the small things and the common things, so that we have the strength and energy, you know, to get on with the big things.
And you're still drawing in this book. There's spot illustrations. How much do you still draw? How does that fit into your creative process today?
I've been, for the last year, a little more than a year, I've been doing Instagram posts a couple times a week of Kathy. And it's also given me a brand new way to relate to connect with people that I wouldn't otherwise have had any connection with. You know, I hear from a lot of complete strangers who, you know, relate to what I do on the Instagram posts. And it's fun for me to, as I love writing these essays, and this is what I want to do. But I also like kind of condensing a moment, a familiar experience, into just a simple drawing for Instagram or Facebook. And it's, it's just kind of, I've just always kind of dumped my frustrations on paper, and Instagram gives me a way to do that.
What do you think this book will say to women of a younger generation? Can it be a roadmap of sorts? Can it be a look at what's ahead or what's right now for them as well?
I think that it will. It can be a kind of a guide on how to keep a sense of humor about little things, and also can give some perspective on what, for a young woman, what her mother, what their mothers or grandmothers kind of went through. In an essay called Don't Tell a Woman to Just Wear Jeans, I talk about how when I was in my 20s, blue jeans were the liberating uniform for my generation. Men and women wore the same ones. We wore the same brands, the same styles. It was a happy, baggy, emancipating piece of clothing that, you know, freed us in same ways our minds were being freed at that time to kind of think differently, to reject differently. And now, of course, jeans have evolved into kind of denim girdles with skin tight denim girdles with all sorts of others expectations and presumptions and requirements around the blue jeans. When my daughter reads that, I think that she's going to have, I think she's going to understand a little bit more about me and a little bit more about the world and how it was different for me and how it's changed for her. And also how blue jeans, something that should be, often clothes are just like a microcosm of the great big picture, but in that way, jeans are how things that got reinvented for women over the decades really make things any better. They made them a little bit more complicated sometimes.
The book is called 50 Things That Aren't My Fault. Kathy, thank you for this book, and thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.